Hey, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. We have a guest today. This is Willem Larson, and he's been a remote mobber with us for a long time in the past, and then he also has a lot of things great to say about thermodynamics of emotion and all of and the mob programming RPG, which we've been talking about a lot in the last few episodes that we had done. And of course, this is the co-host Austin Chadwick, and so we just wanted to kind of get into a conversation. So I'll just let each of you talk a little bit.
The only thing I have to say is it's the return of the floating head.
Yeah.
So Willem was on the, you know, when we mobbed with him remotely, you'd always be a floating head in the corner to the
right
of one of the monitors. And now the floating head is back. So it sounds like a sequel of some kind, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, welcome, Willem. Maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're interested in, and we can get into a discussion about it.
Well, sure. Thanks for having me. And I wrote the mob programming role playing game, and it wouldn't have been possible without the resources of the experienced mobbers that were scattered throughout the Hunter Mob Department. And so I did what Richard Sheridan, I think, at Menlo Innovations calls high-tech anthropology, although he kind of uses that with customers. But I just interviewed and dug and mobbed. And when I saw something unusual, I asked the mobber, like, well, where did you get that from? And what is that? And it was really just a process of documentation, what was actually made the mob sing originally.
Yeah.
And then through our rapid growth, it got a little diluted. So we had to like grab those threads again and be like, what were those original things that really worked? People are still adding roles and playbooks and elements of the game, of course, to this day, as the larger community discovers new aspects of mobbing that really make mobbing sing. So
yeah.
Really, really happy about that.
And how would one contribute to contribute such a role or something along those lines? What would they go about doing?
Well, so certainly at the very least, you can Google my name and GitHub and Mob Programming RPG, and that'll get you to the GitHub repository, and you can make pull requests on that. There's a text file that, although, you know, there's some like prettied up documents for printing, certainly that there's a raw text file that you can make pull requests off of, just to add the new roles and behaviors. And what's really helpful for me is if you also include a link to an icon or an image that really sums up that new role, like, you know, if it was like the Terminator, not the but, you know, like something that looked like a, you know, some scary robot, yeah, rather than the friendly robot for the automationist.
Yeah.
And then a quote that like sums up, you know, the attitude in some sort of inspiring way. Or,
well, Chris has been talking about a role that gets rid of bad processes. So, you know,
yeah,
so
maybe, you're gonna maybe, Terminator.
The Terminator.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I come from the future. Yeah, right. There, yeah.
If you keep doing this. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I had one question on the game. So you started talking about it a little bit when you were describing how you came up with the game, but how did it practically the game get formed? You know, was that you working with people in the mob, you know, and you started, I had this game idea for a game, or like how did it get going?
Well, honestly, it was inspired by something similar that somebody did at a conference. I think, is it in like, it's in near San Francisco. It's like, what is that, Walnut Park or something,
some
suburb of San Francisco. There's a conference called Big Bad Con, and they had a game where if you wanted to volunteer, and there's all these different roles, And if you could try a role out, check off the behaviors, and then try a new role. So one would be like a welcomer, and one would be like a code of conduct, you know, enforcer. And they'd have cool names, and, you know, and so I was like, that's what we need for mobbing, is like we need this, something that can guide us through the process and be kind of on, and like an onboarding tool too, right? Yeah. And so I just, everything, so the first three easiest ones were obviously mobber, driver, and navigator, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was, there's lots of documentation already in the department at Hunter on like how to do those really well, right? And I put a little bit of my opinions in there, of course, and that, you know, got some feedback around that, and then we just kept growing, and it was sort of just like a side project that I had going continually, that I would work on during like learning hour, you know, so on, and just kept growing. And I kept asking folks to contribute roles, but I think while I was at Hunter, only like one role got suggested. But now that I've left, man, you guys are giving all kinds of great ideas. So it's awesome. That's the story of the game. Oh, and like pushing folks to playtest it. Folks have playtested it all over.
Yeah.
Lots of, you know, it's gotten some play at conferences and some in just companies. People printed it off and tried it out on their team, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I know that I try and host it a lot of the open spaces because it's the easiest way to describe the benefits of what we're doing, and so it's been really, really great. So yeah, it's been a great help.
Yeah, the more I've gotten into it, the more often it comes to mind as I'm mobbing or as I'm talking to people about mobbing. It's just like, oh, and this is what the navigator does, and this is what the process cop does, and this is what the, you know, the archivist does, and it really adds a lot of footholds for mob programming, things to talk about that gives more concretely what happens in a mob.
Mm. Yeah.
If people haven't seen it,
yeah,
it's hard to understand, like, as we talked about in the previous episodes, Chris, it's like, is it the coder and the watchers is like people can think of, right? You know, and so.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that was part of it. Like, Woody runs some great, like, intro to mobbing workshops. But I was running into folks who come out of there, and they had like a basic understanding, mobber, navigator, driver, but I was like noticing, oh, there's these other behaviors that aren't super obvious in like an intro mob programming workshop, and would like, how do we make those available? And so that is what spurred me to keep adding and adding and adding. And then once you start adding, right, you're like, oh my God, there's another thing, and there's another thing.
Yeah.
But then there's a thing that I wish we did, and nobody does it, but I like, we really should have, someone should do this, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to thermodynamics of emotion. So I know this is something that you're really passionate about. And there've been a lot of open space talks. And so I think you had a lot of opinions about the thermodynamics of emotion in the mob environment. And so I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. So the thermodynamics of emotion is kind of like it's a literal phrase. It's not poetry, even though it sounds metaphorical. but the real it is a description of a theory and a new law, first principle of physics. The theory is immediate moment theory that basically says that everything that matters to us informationally and emotionally in terms of dynamics and how well things are working in a human system happens in the present moment. That's like a good way of thinking of it. And that's based on, in large part, of this new first principle of physics, that all systems are flow systems at their base, right? Even like something solid like a rock or a bridge, you push on it and stresses are flowing through that, right? And if we model things as flow systems, we get a lot of useful information, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you model a team or a software team or any human system as a flow system, you find that the the most the fundamental and strongest organizing principle of that flow system is the flow of emotion through the group. And you can think of, I mean, emotion just as anything that makes you move, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, quite literally. So I'm not necessarily talking about happiness flowing through the group, but in terms of like happiness and how it animates our bodies, or anger, or and how it caused people to freeze and lock up and turn away, right? Yeah. So you get almost like this hydraulics of these human systems. And we have I'll plug the yearly symposium is coming up in October, our third annual Thermodynamics of Emotion Symposium, October 4th through 6th in Portland. You can Google that, or maybe we'll have it in the description, where we discuss all these issues. But mobbing is such a great example of human systems working smoothly and well. And it's really illustrative of these emotional flows, right? I mean, really, when we talk about things going wrong in a team, where you look for hesitations and you look for turbulence. Mm-hmm. You know, hesitations could be anywhere that information is blocked, right? Why didn't you tell so-and-so that you weren't ready for their push or this or that, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're a jerk and I, you know, whatever, hesitation.
Falls
like
apart quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
It falls apart quickly sometimes, right?
Right. I mean, this is continuous. Just like in any flow system, moment to moment, there's an honest state of the system. It doesn't matter what you'd like or what you think, right? And then turbulence, that you may have a flow going, but then, you know, rivets are popping or, you know, that kind of stuff, right? You know, like what Tim Cook, just his thing about, thanks to everybody who worked overtime and weekends to make this happen. It's like, I wonder all the bugs that produce and all the extra issues, you know, and undermine people's health. And so what we want are, we want these smooth, what we'd call in fluid dynamics, laminar, right, sheet-like, smooth, wave-like systems rather than choppy, you know, white cap, turbulent systems. Mm. And mobbing, it gets rid of loads of handoffs, were classic choke points for hesitation and turbulence, right? It surfaces loads of technical problems and turns them into interpersonal problems, which, although, you know... It might be terrifying to some.
Yeah.
Man, at least they're like surfaced and you can all you have to do is talk face to face now. You're all in the same space. It's so much easier moment to moment to deal with it. You know, in fact, one of the best pieces of feedback I got from a mob member on my last mob was to stop holding feedback for them until the end of the day retro. Just tell them, right? Why was I holding on to it? And that's the strength of the mob, you know, that you can do that instead of you're in your own cubicle and you're going to have to get up and walk all the way over there to, you know, no.
Yeah. And, you know, this has been really interesting for me, Willem, because I haven't really heard this concept before until this moment in the show. And so it's really fascinating and I can really resonate with it on a couple levels. One is... the fact that that mobbing really accentuates the flow that's really going on in any system, right? Because in a lot of ways people work, it's separated in time, right? So someone sends an email, the other person reads it an hour later, they have like an emotional, physical reaction to that, and that's flow into the system of work with a lot of waiting and waste and that kind of thing. And so mobbing, I feel like, really accentuates that. It puts it all together at the same time. So in one sense, it's really good because you can handle it right then and there in the best possible way when you're having a face-to-face conversation, like you said, right? Because it's so much harder to handle that when it's not face-to-face. And you can, you know, course correct as you go. And then the other part of it is, I think, kind of a tie-in to personality types, maybe keeps that flow, the smoothest flow. What did you call it when it was like erratic or smooth?
Yeah, turbulent versus laminar,
Turbulent, okay, yeah. So... I think this is a great part where mobbing can really help is different personality types on the mob can really help with interacting with others. So for me, for example, my personality type, my perception level is really, really low. Like as far as like body language and, you know, emotion and those kinds of things. Like, I pick up on it a little bit, but most of my, like, gut focus, if I'm not thinking about it, is just picking up on what people say. But it's great when you're, you know, so when you're mobbing with people that have other personality types that pick up other things. So one thing I can really relate to is me and my wife. She's really perceptive. So when we go to a function together, you know, she picks up on the body language and she'll course correct me, you know, but it works really well, for example, raising our kids and things like that, where we see things that other people don't see when we're having an interaction with someone, or we're, you know, solving a problem, or, you know, teaching our kids something. And I've definitely seen the same thing, in the mob, where we'll go into a stakeholder meeting and I'll pick out content really well, and someone else will be like, oh, that other person, their body language wasn't really showing they're into it. Maybe we should follow up with them. And it'd be something I would totally miss, right? And so I think different personality types can kind of stabilize that. Turbulence versus what again? It was
Laminar.
Laminar, okay. Laminar. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that later on today. I'll just be like, you know, you should refactor that.
A sentence.
Refactor that to a laminar and just see how you respond to that. So.
Well, we're kind of running up on time here, and so I just wanted to thank you very much, Willem, for being on the show and having a great time with us. And we appreciate it, and maybe we'll have you again on sometime soon.
Yeah, and I think, as always, feedback in the YouTube comments or reach out to us on Twitter. And I think we should end this show with a remote high five, so I don't know if you can pull it off, Willem. So.
High five on either side.
there we go. All right. All right. See you guys. Have a good one.
See you next time.